From Monitor, this is your host, Murray the K. In this half hour, we're going to welcome Mr. Arnold Shore, author of a book called The World of Soul, dedicated to the contributions of black artists to the music scene today. To establish the mood, let's hear an example of soul music by one of its more successful exponents. I speak of Ray Charles, and here he is with a bit of I Can't Stop Loving You.
I can't stop loving you.
That Ray Charles has demonstrated musically what soul is, a little bit of it anyhow, let's see if we can zero in on a verbal definition of the term. For that, we turn to our guest, Mr. Arnold Shore, who's written a book called The World of Soul, dealing with black artists and their music. It's interesting that the book starts right out on a note of disagreement on this point, the definition of the word soul. Arnold, why is it that the people who have it can't agree on what it is?
Well, this is a problem which we face at all times. There's always a gap between those who analyze material and those who create it. But, of course, there's another gap which troubles me greatly right now. I'm sure you know the work of Wayne Cochran. Well, Wayne regards himself as a soul singer.
Blue-eyed soul.
That's right, blue-eyed soul.
Right.
But the interesting thing is that when Wayne is interviewed, as he was recently by one of the big slick magazines, he'll start off by saying, soul got no color. Well, brother, soul has got color, and it's not white, it's not green, it's not yellow, it's not brown, it is black. Soul music was created by black artists, and if one wants to get very musicological about it, it's actually a fusion of like 60 years of pop music. If you break soul apart, you find that it's got some of the earthiness and the hard-nosed realism of the blues era. It's got the drive and the electrical instrumentation of the rhythm and blues era. And it has the jubilation, the frenzy of gospel music. And it's those three components put together and filtered through the experience of black people that creates the kind of music that you hear in James Brown, in Ray Charles, in Aretha Franklin, in Jimi Hendrix, Nina Simone, and the other people whom we regard as soul singers.
Well, actually, in all the shows I've done, and that's been now since 1959, all of my stage shows and television shows, and the people that I've had on, I found that the background to all the soul singers seems to have been the church.
That's right.
Most of them all started. Dionne Warwick started singing in the church. Chuck
right.
Jackson and the Shirelles and all were church singers and the
right.
gospel singers. And I guess if you want to say where it started from, I mean, that's where I can pick its origins. And I guess you go back even further than that to the plantations, right?
Right. But you're right in saying that in its most basic aspects, soul music originates in gospel. It's much closer to the gospel than it is to the blues. The blues, philosophically, are a music of acceptance. Gospel music was a music of jubilation. It was an expression of hope for salvation in this world. And soul music today, which has very, very deep sociological roots, it has something to do with the black is beautiful. Della Reese's recent album has something to do with James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black, Black and I'm Proud. Proud.
Mm-hmm.
Soul music has this jubilation and the feeling of hope, which, incidentally, I was on a program in Chicago just recently with Lawrence Durrell, the great novelist. And Durrell, as you know, is a very Spenglerian kind of writer with a very pessimistic outlook on the world. And the thing that struck me and struck him was that soul music doesn't have any pessimism. It's exactly the reverse of anything that you might regard as despondent. It's music of hope. It's music of salvation. And the interesting thing is, you know black music well enough to know that through the centuries, black people, particularly religious people, have made a very sharp demarcation between secular music, secular black music, and religious black music. Religious black music is something you sing in the church. It's music for God. It's music for the future, the hope of an afterlife. And the blues were devil music. The blues had to do with the pleasures and the vices of today. Well, soul music, for the first time, in singers like Ray Charles, who actually took some gospel songs and changed the lyrics, like he took This Little Light of Mine, which was Clara Ward's great gospel mm-hmm. song, and changed it to This Little Gal of Mine. Well, it was a very profane thing to do from the standpoint of religious blacks. But what he was saying, in effect, was, I'm not looking for salvation in the next world. I'm hopeful of salvation in this world. And you get that fusion of a religious concept with a very secular concept.
And maybe that mixture of the religious and the secular comes a little bit closer to the true definition of soul. Arnold, this is a fascinating subject, and we'll explore it further in a few moments. So stay with us, friends, for more on soul singing and singers right here on the Monitor Beacon.
You don't need a good job, a good income, to enjoy books, magazines, recordings, even motion pictures and fine art. All of these best things in life are waiting for you at your public library. It needn't cost you a penny to enjoy all kinds of books at your library, or with a library card to take home a favorite recording. But today, your public library can do even more for you, possibly even help you to get a better job and increase your income. Self-improvement, how-to books, pamphlets, films, and more cost you nothing and can really pay off. No matter what you do for a living, no matter what your educational background and special interests, your library is there to help you move up. Ask your librarian for a hand in choosing the materials you'll need. Then go to it. You'll be amazed at how many wonderful ways your public library can work for you. WNBC, New York.
People and music and things, you'll find them all on NBC.
That's right, people and music and things, and I'm one of the people, or one of the things, I can't figure out which, but I'm known as Murray the K. At this point, we'll pick up where we left off with Arnold Shore in our discussion of soul as applied to popular music and singers. Arnold, strictly defined, shouldn't soul apply to white music and musicians as well as black?
I'm with you in believing that soul is not a unique quality that only one group of people possesses. After all, the word soul goes back to biblical times, and as a generic term, you're quite right in saying that soul has something to do with sincerity, with honesty, with integrity, and in that way, Sinatra is a soul singer, and so was Crosby in the early days. In other words, if we were to take soul in its generic term, then it belongs to everybody.
Right.
Italians, Jews, Irish, and so forth. But if we were to take soul in its more musicological connotations, then it's, as you say, of black origin. Now, when we say it's of black origin, we recognize two things. A, that not all black people are soul singers. But B, white people can also imitate soul. And a guy like Tom Jones
right.
has much soulful qualities in his singing. Certainly, Janis Joplin has tremendous soul
right.
qualities
yes,
in his singing.
Right.
But what I don't think should be done is to dismiss the fact that in its basic origins, soul music is black music, and that the materials of which soul music was created were materials of black origin, experientially and musicologically, both ways.
Then in that case, I cannot put Diana Ross as a soul artist.
That's right.
She's not really a soul artist.
No,
she's a white artist, really.
That's right. That's right. But I think when you get to that kind of definition, the one that we're now working with, then it's possible to recognize that there are white singers that had soulful qualities, and there are black singers that lacked them.
Right. One of the things, you trace the origin of soul music right back to its beginnings, and some of our younger listeners may not know where it all began.
It began basically with what we know as the Delta Bluesmen. And these were a group of men who were not really entertainers. They were basically sharecroppers and cotton workers who turned to singing and to guitar playing simply as a way of lightening their labors and as a way of amusing themselves and amusing friends. Now, one of the nicest and most interesting things is that there was a group in this Delta area of Mississippi that became known as the Bottleneck Bluesmen. And it's a very interesting development in that we, in our own time, worry about electrical amplification. We want to give instruments a certain kind of stridency. Well, the bluesmen, way, way back, right after the Civil War, became interested in the same thing. And the way they got that kind of continuing sound and vibrancy was to take a bottle, break the neck off, put it on the finger, and then fret the instrument with the bottle. And in that way, they managed to get a kind of floating sound that you couldn't get by fretting it with your fingers. They also occasionally used knives, and frequently, as you know, the guitars were constructed like the Brownie bass. You know, the Brownie
right.
bass made of a wash tub with a string pulled through the center and a broom handle. But let me tell one story about one of the Bottleneck Bluesmen, which I think places the whole business of soul music in perspective. Mississippi John Hurt is dead today, but in the early 20s, he recorded for the OK label. And then, like many of these men, disappeared for 30 years, went back to Mississippi, and was a sharecropper. In the early 60s, when the folk rejuvenation occurred, a musicologist from Washington went down to Mississippi and found Mississippi John Hurt and his wife. At that time, they were working for a farmer for 75 cents a day, the two of them. She is a cook, and he is a sharecropper. And this musicologist asked Hurt to come with him. Well, Hurt later said he thought that this guy was a policeman, and he figured that if he said no, he would nevertheless have to go with him. So he went with him up to Washington and discovered when he got to Washington that what this guy wanted was for him to record authentic Delta blues, which he proceeded to do, and then when it was all over, he got a bottle of Coke as a reward.
As a reward.
And he had the peculiar kind of humor of many of these working bluesmen. He said, but it was nice and cold. But you see, this is soul in the sense that this man can never get out of his skin. Wayne Cochran can.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about soul music is that it could be everything from a bordello. It could be found every place from a bordello to a church, I guess.
Quite so.
The earliest black soul music is to be put on records was specifically for the black record-buying public. And that, of course, was the so-called race records. Now, who would you give credit for widening the appeal of soul music to all race and age groups? Any one artist more than the other, or a group of artists?
I would say Ray Charles would probably be the supreme figure, because Ray, in some way, beginning with a voice that had a great church quality, and the intensity which comes out of being blind from early youth, and the peculiar mastery of sound which he has, put all those things together, and at the same time have the kind of warmth of feeling which he manages to get in all his music. You get a man who can do what he did, which is to sing blues, to sing rhythm and blues, to sing jazz, and as you know, he had a series of big country hits even. In other words, Ray in some way overwhelms material. And it's for that reason that I'm so insistent in saying that soul music is black music, because in this case, in a sense, it doesn't matter what he sings. It's that the man is the style is soul, and soul takes everything and makes it alive for the listener.
Thank you, Arnold, for giving us your ideas on soul. Soul music and soul musicians of whatever race. And we've been talking with Arnold Shore, author of the book, The World of Soul. And for exit music, let's go back to Ray Charles with a full version of the song that we heard a little bit earlier. Soulfully, I Can't Stop Loving You.
I can't stop loving you.
I've made up my mind to live in memory of the lonesome time. So I'll just live my life in dreams of yesterday.
Dreams of yesterday.
Those happy hours that we once knew. Heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been apart.
I can't stop loving you.
I'm made of
Charles, adding a touch of soul to a country and western standard. Say, once again, let me remind you that daylight saving time starts at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, so if you don't want to stay up till then to turn your clock forward, you better do it tonight. Why should you turn your clock forward tonight when tomorrow is Sunday? Well, so you won't be late for church, that's why. Maurice Williams and the Zodiac song of Stay by Bob Mitchell and the orchestra on Coast to Coast Monitor 70. In southeastern Pennsylvania, we come to you and come your way over station WGAL Lancaster, serving Lancaster County. This is Murray the K. Back in a few moments. First, a word from the NBC affiliate in your area.
Project Apollo, science or adventure. This is Dean Mell inviting you to a one-hour news special tomorrow night on NBC Radio.
Here's Monitor Now on NBC.
That's very true, Ollie. Here's Monitor Now, and I'm your host, Murray the K. Ahead, we'll be hearing the story of a song that was written in one country and became a success in another. First, let's hear a 100% American homegrown product, Bobby Sherman, singing his own composition of Easy Come, Easy Go. It's all about my dough.
I lost my mind, I fell apart.
This is Murray the K hanging around with Easy Come and Easy Go by Bobby Sherman. You know, songwriting can be a frustrating business. Sometimes a song has to be exported, translated, rearranged before it becomes a hit. Now, such a song was originally written in French, but apparently gained something in the translation to English. And more with that story is Monitor's Dieter Frederick reporting from Monaco. Are you there, Monaco? Dieter? Monaco? Come in, Monaco. Monaco?
Hello, New York. This is Monte Carlo. Under the patronage of Her Serene Highness Princess Grace of Monaco, this is Dieter Friedrich for NBC Monitor, bringing you jet set sounds from the Overseas Monitor Discotheque. You will certainly remember, dear friends, Love is Blue, L'amour est bleu, which was composed already 4 years ago by André Pop, who lives in Marseille, down here on the Mediterranean coast. And when Love is Blue was presented at the European TV Festival, the Song Festival, it didn't get anywhere. It didn't get anywhere when Paul Mauria recorded it for the French scene, but when it got to America, you will remember it became a great hit, and in America alone, there are now about 70 versions of Love is Blue on the record market. Now, André Pop composed a new song called Zeinerlin. Zeinerlin doesn't mean anything, it's just a name, just a nice little name, Zeinerlin. And Zeinerlin isn't getting anywhere in France. However, across the channel, Herman's Hermits picked up Zeinerlin, and it became, with the English title of Years May Come, Years May Go, it became a hit in London. But let's listen first to the original André Pop French versions as sung by the Compagnons de la Chanson, Zeinerlin.
Place publique, la petite fille aux pieds nus, angélique.
Elle est partie un jour, on ne sait plus pourquoi, et depuis ce jour-là, il fait froid.
This was the French version, the original version by the Compagnons de la Chanson, which, although it's a very pleasant melody, didn't get very far here in the French hit parade. So Herman's Hermits, as I said, across the channel, are doing very well with their English version, Years May Come, Years May Go, and perhaps, from London, it will cross the Atlantic like Love is Blue of André Pop did.
Let's take a look behind and see what we can find. Last year has gone for everyone, passed with time. What happened to us then can happen once again. And what's it now to me?
Just be glad, let's be glad. Go, but your Monte Carlo monitor, Dieter Friedrich, is always à votre service, at your service, with Jet Set Records from Europe's glamorous Principality of Monaco, the tiny nation of our lovely American princess, Grâce de Monaco. Merci beaucoup, grazie mille, au revoir, arrivederci.
Arrivederci, I'm Monte, and arrivederci, Carlo, and arrivederci, Dieter, and whenever you're in town again, look us up. Hey, if that's the secret of success, maybe they ought to translate some of our American songs into French, but more ahead, group, so stay right here with us on the Monitor Beacon as we beep away.
Do you have a hard time deciding what to wear, what to have for dinner, where to go on vacation? There are New Yorkers with no such problems. Clothes? They carry their wardrobes on their backs. Food? They don't know where their next meal's coming from. Vacation? Who needs one without a job? Thousands of men, women, and children go to bed hungry each night in rat-infested tenements in our city. One out of every five dies for want of medical care. While you're counting your blessings, count on giving to the annual fund appeal of New York Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities works hard to restore dignity and incentive to the lives of our city's poor and deprived. Through its 203 agencies and institutions, it cares for the aged, the sick, the handicapped, the emotionally disturbed, the dependent, the neglected, and the addicted. The fight against poverty in New York is your fight. Show your concern for those less fortunate. Help Catholic Charities fund appeal.
WNBC, New York.
People and music and things. You'll find them all on NBC.
That's right. More of Monitor 70. Murray the K at the microphone. I think that's what it is. And here's that newly minted single act, Diana Ross. And she's got a great new song for you. It's all about when you go to a movie. And you see one of these horror films, see? And you're all by yourself, and you're afraid. She says to do this. Are you ready? Here it comes.
Together to give encouragement to someone.
must reach out and touch someone's hand. And right now, Monitor Sports, the USAC 200-mile auto race for Indianapolis-type cars will be held at the Trenton, New Jersey Speedway tomorrow. A report from track owner George Hammett, Jr., and sports editor Len Dillon on Monitor's open line.
George Hammett, you've rebuilt your Trenton Speedway from a one-mile track to a mile and a half, and the only one of that size in the East. Was there any special reason for you doing that, George?
Yes, there was. When we had the mile track, we thought when we first built it that this was a super speedway. But in the period since 57, the mile track has become rather conventional, and in order to be a super speedway, you have to exceed the mile. So we went to a mile and a half, and in fact, we put a right-hand turn in the back stretch to give it a little more excitement.
How much faster is your track now than it was last season?
Oh, I would say it's about a third faster. We used to turn the track in about 110 miles an hour. Now they turn it in about almost 160.
Mm.
That coming down the stretch, they do as high as 180.
Now, there'll be 26 cars going in your USAC 200 tomorrow with Mario Andretti, the defending champion, right?
Right. Mario won both the 200 and the 300 last year.
Can you tell me something about the new car Al Unser will be using?
Well, the new car that Al Unser will be using is a car that was just designed, and it has quite a different balance from the car that he drove last year. And the car that he drove last year was a great one because he was in the lead here at Trenton until he had encountered mechanical difficulties. He was well ahead of Mario Andretti. The car has considerably more power in spite of the fact that each year the displacement is reduced by the governing body. Still, these very clever designers are able to introduce more power into the cars. This one has extremely great acceleration, and acceleration and deceleration are major factors on an auto race.
George, maybe you don't know, but I looked at Unser's car earlier this week. What do you figure that car costs?
The car that you looked at cost, if you just want to take the very bare cost, the metal parts cost and construction cost, I would say $60,000 to $75,000.
Hmm.
And they have two of them because they always have to have a backup car, so you double it.
Right. Well, do you expect the winner of the Indy 500 to be in your USAC 200 tomorrow in the Trenton Field?
That's the only way it can be, because after all, we've got A.J. Foyt, we've got Mario Andretti, we've got Al Unser, we've got Bobby Unser, we've got Wally Dallenbach, and in my judgment, one of those three guys with an outside chance to Lloyd Ruby, who's also in our field, ought to be the winner at Indianapolis.
So what sort of a crowd do you expect tomorrow, if it doesn't rain?
Oh, I don't think it's going to rain from the way it looks, and I would expect 30,000 would not be a high figure.
Well, George Hammett, we want to thank you for being our guest on Monitor's Open Line, and good luck in tomorrow's Trenton 200.
Well, Len Dillon, thanks an awful lot.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
I'm letting you all get into this thing now, because this is Bobby Goldsboro's new one.
There's a feeling deep inside me.
It hurts.
That I never felt before. And I feel it when I see you. And when I touch you, I feel it even more. And I wonder when I'm with you, do you feel the way I do? When you put your arms around me, do you get that feeling too? Can you feel it deep inside? Can you feel it in your heart? Can you feel it deep inside? If you feel it, then we can together. And there's not a thing to fear. If you've got that loving feeling, then the time for us is here. Can you feel it deep inside? Can you feel it? what you see. Is the world a little brighter? And does the sun just seem to shine for you and me?
Last few bars, friends, just as an added extra attraction. That's Bobby Goldsboro, and Can You Feel It? Murray the K on monitor. Tonight, I do want to thank all of the wonderful people here at Monitor that made this show such a great success. We got the famous Radio Grumpy Award. Frank McKiernan, John Marin at our tables. They deal very well. And Joyce Rain, our beautiful production assistant. Ryan? Mm-hmm. Bob Sossman, our director. Bill something or other. Malcolm. Yeah, that's it. He's our producer. Who else? Stan Tooman, our aide-de-camp. Hank Miles, who's in the boss's office now going through all the files. Gordon, our newsman, who contributed absolutely nothing to this show that I couldn't have done myself. Tirado, Signor El Chicano and the Monitor Mariachis. Mariachis, that's who they are, the Mariachis. With which we arrive at that point again, which is time to find out what's happening in the world. Murray the K here, inviting you to stay tuned.
News time is coming.